When Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him. So he went in and reclined at the table. But the Pharisee was surprised when he noticed that Jesus did not first wash before the meal. Then the Lord said to him, "Now then, you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But now, as for what is inside you, be generous to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and respectful greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, because you are like unmarked graves, which people walk over without knowing it." One of the experts in the law answered him, "Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us also." Jesus replied, "And you, experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them. Woe to you, because you build tombs for the prophets, and it was your ancestors who killed them. So you testify that you approve of what your ancestors did. They killed the prophets, and you build their tombs. Because of this, God in his wisdom said, 'I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill, and others they will persecute. Therefore, this generation will be held responsible for the blood of all the prophets that has been shed since the beginning of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be held responsible for it all. Woe to you, experts in the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those who were entering." When Jesus went outside, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to oppose him fiercely and to besiege him with questions, waiting to catch him in something he might say. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs."
Well, good evening. My name is Pete Woodcock. I'm one of the pastors of this church. What I want you to do, we'll come back to that passage in just a minute, but on your tables, just say hello to each other, obviously, but just try and get a definition of hypocrisy. What is a hypocrite? Try and get a definition. Don't point to someone and say, "He is," but try and get a definition of what a hypocrite is. Just talk about around that, just for a couple of minutes to get the juices running on your tables. Okay, that'll do. We're doing a series on Sunday evenings called Lost Souls. And the whole point of this series is people that had great opportunities to respond to God but actually didn't, and they're lost. And it's really sad and a little frightening. But one of the ways you're going to lose your soul, and one of the ways that you people didn't listen to the Lord Jesus Christ is because of hypocrisy. There's two big things in the Bible where people really just won't turn to God. The big thing, the overall thing, is pride. But hypocrisy is a sort of subdivision, a sort of thing of pride. We're going to pray, and then we'll turn back to that passage. In fact, make sure you've got that passage open. It's on page 10, whatever it was, 43, I think. It's Luke chapter 11, and then I'm going to pray. Father, this is your word, and you are so kind that you're a God that speaks. And you speak sometimes to encourage us and sometimes to warn us. And it's always for our good. because your word brings life. And Father, we ask you, please, that the warnings about these lost souls, about hypocrisy, would actually bring life into us. It would stop us being what we naturally may be. So help us now. Give us ears. Take away pride. Take away self-absorption so that we just don't listen. Help us not to point the finger and say, oh, that means that for that person over there. Help us to take what you say to our own hearts, that we may be right with you in the Lord Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen. If I point to you and say, I've got to be careful now, I'll point up here and say, you hypocrite. I mean, that would be weird if there was someone up there. You hypocrite. If I point to you and say, you hypocrite, that is a very, very strong language, isn't it? So in the paper, it's yesterday's paper, but I was looking at it today. They're talking about the mayor of London, and they're calling him a hypocrite. And, you know, that's quite a thing to say about someone. You hypocrite. It's very strong. And if you've ever had that said to you, it is an insult. It's one of the biggest insults that you can have. You are a hypocrite. Well, here's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's talking to his followers, and he's warning his followers, and he's warning them about a group of very conservative religious people. I mean, they take their religion very seriously. They're called the Pharisees. They are very conservative, very serious about their faith. But Jesus says to his followers, I want to warn you about them because that group gets the hypocrite group of the year. Look what he says in chapter 12, verse 1. It is amazing. Meanwhile, when the crowd of many thousand had gathered, so there's a huge gathering. This is a public occasion. So that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, be on your guard against the yeast of the... Now, just get this moment, because he's speaking to his disciples, yet it's a public meeting. The religious group are there. All of these super sound people are there. And he's speaking. He would have to speak loudly. This isn't whispering here. And in fact, he's going to go on and say things aren't, you know, not very good, just whispered. They're going to be declared. So he's declaring. He's speaking to a big group. And he says, I want you to be aware if you're following me. Look at this. The Pharisees are there taking notes. Be on your guard against the yeast of that lot there, which is hypocrisy. I mean, that's something, isn't it? But he's not just saying be on your guard as if they're a force that are outside. He's saying be on your guard because the yeast of the Pharisees, a little bit of their influence, a little bit, you know, you take a little bit of yeast and you put it in some bread, and it doesn't have to be much yeast, but it will blow the bread up to a big loaf. The yeast of the Pharisees, a little bit of influence of the Pharisees, don't let them influence you because they are potent hypocrites. Then he goes on in verses 2 and 3 of the chapter, and it seems a bit strange this. He says, there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you've whispered in the ear in the inner room will be proclaimed from the rooftops. Now, what he's saying there is, actually, your whole life will be revealed. Your whole life will be revealed. Now, what's that got to do with hypocrisy? Well, the word hypocrite was the word that was used for an actor. That's where it came from. An actor was a hypocrite. A hypocrite was an actor. And in those days, they didn't have, really good actors, actually. You just put a mask on. You held a mask up. And, you had a happy mask or a sad mask or an indifferent mask, and you held the mask up to your face, and if you were happy. But that's just a mask. It's not the real person. That's the word for hypocrisy. You're an actor. You're just a mask. You're different from what you're portraying in front of in front of the public. And so what he's saying is, there's a time coming, Pharisees, religious leaders, where actually you'll get the Oscar that you've always wanted. Because you'll be shown to be the actor that you've been. You're just outward. And it will all be revealed. It will be shouted from the mountaintops. People will say, and the award for the best actor of the year is Simeon the Pharisee. Hey! And he'll say, no. I thought I was being real. No, you weren't. You were an actor. There's extraordinary stuff going on here. You've got to get the tension going on here. Hypocrisy. Now, all of this started up when Jesus went to a meal right at the beginning of the reading that we had. Look at verse 37. When Jesus had finished speaking, so he'd done another talk there, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him, and he went in and reclined at the table. They sort of laid at tables when they ate. But the Pharisee was surprised when he noticed that Jesus did not first wash before the meal. This has got nothing to do with hygiene. It hadn't that Jesus had gone to the toilet and washed his hands. He got filthy poo-poo fingers or something like that. It was religious. It was outward. It was, look at me. There were special ways of washing and how your hands did it. And it was a big ceremony, but everybody would see you were pouring water and the way you rubbed your hands and stuff. It was all to say, look at me, I'm washed, and therefore God is pleased with me. And so Jesus replies in verse 39 of chapter 11, "Now then, you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness, you foolish people. Did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But now, as for what is inside you, be generous to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. You criticize me for religious washing, or rather not religious washing, for this ceremonial washing. But actually, what I'm talking about is inside the bowl. You're filthy inside. You can be clean outside, but inside, that's your problem. There's no generosity. There's no real heart. You don't care for the poor. It's an illustration that you're all about yourself. You care for the bigwigs and the people that you're around, but not for the insignificant people, because your heart's wrong." That's what he's saying. You concentrate on externals. You think that God is pleased with the washing of your hands. Now, in the Gospels, in the Gospels that we see Jesus in, he is really strong against these Pharisees. Stinging words against the religious. Look at verse 39 of chapter 11. "Inside you are full of greed and wickedness, you foolish people." And then he goes on and he pronounces six woes against hypocrisy. Six woes against religious hypocrisy. And that's what I want us to briefly look at. We could spend hours on each woe, but I'm going to be as quick as I can. Six woes that define hypocrisy. Now, this is what's going to happen to you because this happens to me. So I know it will happen to you because I know it happens to me. I can read these points where Jesus has a go at these Pharisees, and I can stand back and I can look at them and say, I see your mask. But this is the cleverness of hypocrisy. This is the yeasty bit of it. It's so easy to see your mask and hide behind our own. It's so easy. Now, we're talking about lost souls and hypocrisy. You'll be lost. So these are very serious things. So we've got to be careful that we don't have self-deception, camouflage ourselves as we point to the Pharisees and see their obvious masks. We've got to let these hit. Six woes, six things. A woe, by the way, is not just a judgment word. It's not like just woe to you. It's a word that they would use when there was a funeral and people would cry, woe, woe. So there's sympathy here and brokenness and sadness as Jesus declares these woes. Six woes against hypocrisy. We need to look at this so that we don't have lost souls. Here's the first one. Lost souls people who are lost concentrate on the outward rather than the inward. People who will be lost before God concentrate on the outward rather than the inward. Hypocrisy majors on the minors. That's my first point. They have the wrong priorities. Look at verse 42. Woe. Here's his first woe. Woe. Woe to you Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. Now, what's that all about? Well, they're practicing the outward and not the inward. And the outward was this thing called tithing, which is a fine thing. They give a tenth of everything they have. But in this case, they're giving a tenth to show, look at me, I tithe. I give my money to God's work. I give, you know, they're doing it with their little tiny mint. They've grown a little mint plant, you know, on their windowsill, and they're picking the leaves. And you can imagine it's like, one, two, because a tenth, you know, a tithe is a tenth. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, that's mine. I can make nice mint lamb with that. One, that's God's. That's God's. Everybody, even my little mint plant on my windowsill. And the rue, chip, 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 that's God's. They're doing all of this so that people can see, look at me. Aren't I godly? Aren't I godly? They're majoring on a little mint and rue, but they're missing, says Jesus, justice and the love of God. They're missing justice and the love of God. It's extraordinary, isn't it? They're majoring on the minors and missing the major issues. Jesus elsewhere talks about these people. I love this line where he says that they strain at gnats. They strain out gnats, but they swallow camels. So there's this sort of idea that, you know, you're making a cup of tea and you've got your tea strainer and there's a gnat. Ooh, gnat. And they get little tweezers and get the gnat out. But there's a whacking great camel and they're swallowing that. In other words, it's majoring on the minors. What one little rue, one little mint leaf. But they're not knowing anything about the love of God for other people. Look what he says in verse 40, you foolish people. Did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But now, as for what is inside, be generous to the poor, and everything else will be clean in you. In other words, have this heart for other people that aren't so well off as you. Don't just major on the minor. The big issues, if you really are godly, is that your care for the outcast, your care for the person that doesn't know the work of God. You'll care for them. You see that? So that's the first thing. Lost souls concentrate on the outward rather than the inward, and they major on the minors. Here's the second thing. Lost souls seek personal status. Hypocrisy looks to self-applaud rather than looking out for others. Let me say it again. Lost souls seek personal status. Hypocrisy looks to self-applause rather than looking out for others. Look at verse 42, second one. Woe to you Pharisees, because you love the most important seat in the synagogue, the religious place, and respectful greetings in the marketplaces. They loved it when people say, oh, there you are, holy man. Lovely to see you, holy man. They love the special seat. They love standing up the front. They love the spotlight. But they don't serve anyone. There's no service. It's all the spotlight. You know? When I was in Indonesia once, I did a tour around villages. And there was a group supposed to be a Christian group that sort of went around and they sang the songs. And they were really irritating, to be honest. Now, I know it's easy to point the finger at others, but I just want to sort of try to illustrate things. But they got up. They loved the big meetings. They loved the light on them. They were always worrying about the lights, the spotlight that was on them. And they loved playing the guitar, and they were doing the worship. And it looked like they were really taken up with God. But they weren't. They weren't. They never stayed to listen to any of the Word of God. They never listened to the Word of God. They never set up their equipment. They never set down their equipment. They never served anyone. When they had finished playing, they went. That's horrific, isn't it? It looked like on stage, I mean, they were wow. They must have been having amazing experiences with God. But they didn't serve. Woe to you Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogue and respectful greetings in the marketplace, but you don't serve anyone. Beware of status. Beware of personal status and the applause from people rather than serving. That's the second one. Third one. Lost souls hinder instead of help. Lost souls hinder instead of help. Hypocrisy is about masking ourselves and so fooling others it will lead them astray. In other words, it's all about me. Everything's about me. And yet I cover that up. And I actually, by covering it up, cause other people to sin. Look, what do I mean? I think Jesus puts it far better than I'm trying to put it. Look at verse 44. Woe, see the woe? Woe to you, because you're like unmarked graves, which people walk over without knowing it. Now, you've got to get this. In the Jewish mindset, the grave was an unclean thing. A dead body was unclean. So in graveyards, you had warnings so that no one would just walk into a graveyard, because that would make you ceremonially unclean to God. Yeah? So an unmarked grave, that's a problem, because you don't know it's there, and you could walk over it, so you can become unclean and not know you're unclean. That's what Jesus is telling us here. Lost souls hinder instead of help. Their hypocrisy, their mask that looks like they're serving God, is actually an unmarked grave, and people walk over it, and people become unclean because they are the example, and you're following their example, but they're hypocrites. That's what Jesus is saying. It's frightening. They're unmarked graves. They're leading people astray. They're saying things like, I'm full on for God, but they're not. It's all about them in the end. It's all about them, and they hinder people from coming to God. That's the third thing. Fourth thing. Lost souls preach instead of practicing. They preach instead of practicing. Hypocrisy makes burdens for others. What do I mean? Look at verse 46. Jesus replied, and you experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourself will not lift one finger to help them. Woe to you, because you load people down with burdens that they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger. In other words, you preach lots of things, you give lots of rules and lots of laws and lots of outward expressions. This is what it would look like. Look at me, I'm a God follower. Look at me, it looks like I'm following God. But actually, it's impossible to keep up with those people. They have lots of laws and they dot every dot and they cross every T. And there's those religious laws, and there's no real mercy. They don't preach the mercy of God, that God forgives us and has mercy on us, and it's a living relationship with God, not just following laws. Or they go the other way. They're so holy, they're so special that you can't really get near them, and they preach to you, look at me, follow me, but actually they're as empty as an unmarked grave, and you can't follow them anyway because they're just too holy. They're just too holy. They give out that expression, that impression, that their experience or their rules or their laws or their religion, whatever it is, they've got it. And if you don't have exactly what they have, you're out. They preach, but they don't practice help. They don't lift a finger to help you. They're not trying to help you. They're just preaching at you themselves, really. That's the fourth thing. Fifth thing. Lost souls have an outward honor for the truth of the Bible, but no intention to change. Lost souls have an outward honor of the truth of the Bible, but no intention to change. Hypocrisy will quote prophets, but inwardly reject that which they quote. What do I mean? Look at verse 47. Here's Jesus. Woe to you, because you build tombs for the prophets, and it was your ancestors who killed them. So you testify that you approve of what your ancestors did. They killed the prophets, and you built their tombs. Because of this, God in his wisdom said, I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and others they will persecute. Therefore, this generation will be held responsible for the blood of all the prophets that has been shed since the beginning of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be held responsible for it. Now, what's he saying? Well, he's saying, you fine-speaking people, you talk about the Bible and you say, yes, you follow the Bible, but actually you don't. You outwardly reverence the truth of the Bible. You even know the A to Z of martyrs, Abel, Zechariah, A to Z of all of the martyrs that are in the Bible. You know about the Bible, but actually you have no intention of following it. You're pretenders. You're liars. You're hypocrites. You don't really want to follow God's word. And of course, if you carried on reading in Luke, it doesn't get far. Well, it's the end of the chapter. They want to kill Jesus. They want to kill Jesus. And actually, a lot of people are like that. They pretend to follow Jesus. They'll have great big Jesus signs all over the place. They talk about Jesus, but actually they have no intention of following him. They're using his name to get power over people. It's frightening how this happens. And he says that you are these people. You are the children of your ancestors that killed the prophets, and you make these outward tombs, and you make this stuff all about, yes, I follow the word of God, but actually you don't. You want to even kill me. Tom, I don't know whether Tom's given this illustration, but we were at a thing called Christian Resources Exhibition. It's an awful thing to go to, I have to say, unless you want a laugh. I mean, it's nonsense. They have clergy on the catwalk. They have people dressed up with funny hats and religious garb. I mean, it's like Pharisee Row. And they're walking around. But what was interesting, there's a lady who, and I said to Tom, let's not get into arguments. You know, let's just look, and then we can download afterwards. But it's almost impossible. It really is. And this lady took me unawares. She was a dear old thing. She was on a little stand, and she had a big pile from the floor of pictures of Jesus. Yeah, well, it definitely wasn't Jesus, because it was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, white picture. And if Jesus was blonde-haired and blue-eyed, in first century Palestine, he would have been a freak. So it was a sort of American Western painting of Jesus, but it was photocopied. And she said to me, "Ooh, would you like a picture of Jesus?" Now, I was being in polite mode and said, "Oh, no, thanks, sorry. Oh, please take one, because he's so precious to me." I said, "No, I really don't want one." She said, no, please take one. I said, "Look, to be honest with you," and here we, I thought, oh, no. "To be honest with you, I don't think Jesus looked anything like that. He'd have been much darker." She said, "I think I've got a darker one somewhere." And found out a misphotocopied one that was a little bit darker. And I said, no, and went away. But then Tom comes in and starts trying to engage her and says, "Can I read a parable of Jesus?" And he started to read a parable of Jesus. Now, she'd just declared her love for Jesus. She'd paid probably £600, because that's how expensive it is to have a stall at this place, to give out pictures of Jesus. So she seems like a lover of Jesus, is that right? Tom reads a parable of Jesus, which she obviously hadn't heard before. And she ends up, because I wonder what was going on, this old lady shouting at Tom, saying, "Go away! Go away! That's horrible! I don't like it! I don't like it!" Don't like what? The words of Jesus! It's possible to think you're in love with Jesus and you got the wrong one. It's possible. And in the end, you want to kill him. You're outwardly honoring him, but you want to kill him. And this is why, not to be a hypocrite, and if you're a student here, you've got to listen to this. You need to get to that student thing afterwards. Because you need to find out what is the Jesus you really believe in. What is the Jesus of the Bible? He's very often different to the Jesus of religion. Very often different to how we think he is. I mean, did you expect gentle Jesus, meek and mild, to shout out before thousands of people, "Let me show you who the hypocrites are! Them!" Surely Jesus is long hair, blue eyed, and going, "Peace, man, peace." But no, he's saying, and then when he realizes they're a little bit upset, he stirs them up even more because he's trying to draw the sting. He's trying to draw the poison out. Sixth point, quickly, lost souls take away God's truth. Hypocrisy stops others hearing about God. Look at verse 52. "Woe to you, experts in the law." You're experts in the law of God, that is. "Because you have taken away the key of knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those who are entering." Do you see what's going on? They're stopping people really reading the Bible. They're religious people, but they're giving a wrong view of God. They're not saying, "You need to get into the Word of God. You need to get into the Bible." Lost souls take away God's truth from people, and hypocrisy stops people hearing about God. They close the book. Always beware of someone. You've got to watch this. Watch this. You often have in churches a Bible reading, blah, 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 blah. "Now let me tell you about God." Anybody that does that, you need to say, "Preacher, look, show me from the Bible." Lost souls, people who are lost before God, take away God's truth. Hypocrisy stops others hearing about God. They have the keys, but they don't give them out. Now, all of that is rather depressing, and I don't want to sort of end on that. I want to show you the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's so completely different to these lost souls. Jesus is not a hypocrite. He's anything but. And he's the opposite to all of this hypocrisy. First thing, Jesus majored on the majors, not the minors. Jesus came with both justice and love of God. That's what the cross of Jesus is all about. He died on the cross to bring the justice and the love of God. He gave himself for others so that all of your hypocrisy and injustice and all of mine can be dealt with. He majored on the major. Second thing Jesus did, Jesus was not about personal status. I mean, he's God for goodness sake, but he died on a cross. Who being in the very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death on the cross. He wasn't about status. He was about giving his life for people. Third thing, Jesus didn't fool people and lead them astray. He told them the truth at great personal cost. It's hard telling people the truth, you know. It's very hard because people don't want to hear it. But he told the truth. He said, I am the way. I am the life. I am the truth. He told the truth and they killed him for it. Fourth thing, Jesus didn't make a burden for others. He took the burden of others. He was not a hypocrite, anything but. He said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy. I'll take your burden. I won't give you a burden. Fifthly, Jesus fulfilled the prophets. He so believed in them. He was what all the prophets were about. He so loved the word, he fulfilled the prophets. Sixthly, Jesus brought the keys of life. Not locking them up and hiding them away and throwing the keys away. He is the key to life. The way you deal with hypocrisy in your life is to get to know the Jesus of the scriptures. And he is the opposite to our hypocrisy. And that's why we need him. Let me finish there. Let me just have a moment of quiet and then I want you to get to do something on your tables. Just a moment to reflect on some of those things. Father, you know us inside out and outside in. We can't hide from you. All will be revealed. We can put on masks and pretense to each other, but not before you. And so we do want to come to Jesus. And we really do want him to cleanse us. Because we are so easily about the outward and about us. And pretense. But Jesus isn't. And we thank you for him. Help us come to him. In Jesus' name. Amen.